of the bottom of society as a way to push society forward. We're talking about the whole of society. If you're going to change society, you got to change it from the bottom up, not from the midway up or any other level up, but from the bottom up. And it needs changing. There's no reason why we should have the kind of homelessness and poverty when you have a country, an economy that's reached a level of productivity where those things don't have to happen. Yet the way this economy is organized for profits and money for a few, and wealth is being concentrated in few. And I think, and also in terms of this context, I think Reverend Dr. King was very appreciative in his statement that we are in a period of a very cruelly developing system that is bringing more and more people into poverty, and the struggle becomes to get them to take action together, to move this country, to move the rest of the population, so as to move the country. So anyway, it was in this context that the origins of the Carroll Center took place. We both, myself and Liz, was involved in different levels with the National Homeless Union Organizing Drive for about 10 years. It was a series of synchronized national housing takeovers, where at one time we had some like 73 cities that was involved with the Take Off the Board campaign. As part of, those campaigns were used to build the homeless union and to spread its influence. And so it was a very rich period of experience. We got a lot of anecdotes and lessons that we draw from it. And we carry those lessons forward into where we are right now. And this is the footing of the work of the Carroll Center. We've now, the people that we've known over the years, we've become connected with them in a broad poverty scholars network that we call, in which the Carroll's membership exists within. Our members are now pastors and associate pastors of churches throughout the country. They're very much involved with the Poor People's Campaign. And the idea of building a movement under these, in this period where poverty is in the midst of plenty, is becoming the defining issue, that the question of the Poor People's Campaign, and using that to carry out our central mission of developing religious leaders and community leaders who are committed to building such a movement led by the poor as a united force across color lines and every other lines of division. We've been committed to that for a long time. And now that the Poor People's Campaign is taking flight. I mean, things are really, people are responding. It's clearly an idea whose time has come. And the Carroll's member and our network, our poverty scholars network at large, are placed in a very important position in this struggle. And we're committed that this thing is successful and that we do, in fact, unite the poor and dispossessed, so that this country, with its tremendous capabilities, can live out the true meanings of its creed. We're all created equal, right? And we're endowed by our creators with certain inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is what we're pursuing. That which is on paper has to be put into practice. And that's what we intend for it to happen. And that's the whole A and Z of the Carroll Center and its membership and its commitment.
So, you know, just to add a little bit to what Willie was talking about, I mean, you know, when we look at what's happening in the world today, and in this country, you know, the Mailman School of Public Health, you know, at Columbia University, right across the street from where we are right now, you know, estimates that basically 250,000 people die every year because of poverty, and that is more than people who die from heart attacks, strokes, and cancer combined.
In wars.
And yet, there isn't the kind of national outcry. Yet poverty as an issue is relegated to, you know, basically completely ignored. And what we've seen is what's happening now, and what's happened throughout history, is that those whose lives are being cut short, those who have people who are dying from poverty and are rising up. And, you know, as we've said, you know, over the years, you know, in the mission of the Cairo Center and the Poverty Initiative, is that those who, you know, are most impacted, people who have very little or nothing to lose from changing the current system, you know, in the words of Frederick Douglass, those who would be free must strike the first blow, right? And so when you look at history and you look at social change, that it's when those that are most impacted, you know, band together with other people, mm-hmm. And build a movement. And so I think, you know, really what's at the center of the work that we're doing here is learning and sharing lessons of poor people organizing other poor people, and poor people organizing a movement that can help to lead everybody, mm-hmm. right? And again, that's true not just in this country, but worldwide. But from the homeless encampments and from the low-wage worker organizations and from the folks that are having family members that are dying because of the lack of health care, you know, a movement is growing, and you know, and we're really excited to be able to then help pull those different struggles, those different organizations, those different leaders, you know, into this Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival, to be able to, you know, help to catalyze a larger movement in this country. And you know, there are just a lot of lessons from the folks that we're working with currently and out of the context that we're in, and you know, that have real lessons to share, for how we bring about real change in this society.
Yeah, no, I feel like one of the things you've said is sort of, you know, the way that poverty just isn't really discussed in the kind of national discourse. And I feel like a big part of what the campaign is trying to do, and what we've been trying to do for a long time as a network and as a you know, organization, is to kind of break through these narratives around poverty and the poor. And there's something that I was rereading one of the chapters out of Pedagogy of the Poor, just kind of thinking about this conversation. And there was one thing that caught my eye that you all wrote. You said the wrenching conditions of economic and social crises and the practical struggles in response to these conditions compel, especially those in battle, to question their deeply held beliefs and habits. And I think in that part, you were sort of talking about education and leadership development. And just, I mean, in another way, you said that, you know, that this is a movement that's going to be led by the poor and the insights of the poor. But in a way, it's not, you know, just because people are poor that they're leaders, but because of the experience puts them in a, and it puts people in a place where they're, what you're told about who is poor, what you're told about poverty and why poverty, all of those sort of ideological and you know, messages that you get are sort of, they lose their like weight and their truth, and you're sort of open to new thinking.
Cool. No, so I a couple of thoughts that come to mind. So one, like Willie was talking about this organizing drive of the National Union of the Homeless. Now, when I first got involved in the National Union of the Homeless in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Delaware Valley Union of the Homeless, I had just started college, and I started to use a computer. You know, this is back in the dark ages, right? And so one of the things that was true is that when I typed in the word homelessness into my computer, spell check didn't know the word homelessness. That now homelessness is a reality that people accept as inevitable, accept as ever present. But there was a time in the 80s and 90s when economic homelessness, people becoming homeless, whole families being thrust onto the street because even if they were working, they couldn't afford to keep a roof over their head, or there weren't jobs for people to be working to be able to stay off the street, right? Mm-hmm. But that hasn't always been, right? Mm-hmm. And then what compelled people to engage in the Union of the Homeless and that homeless organizing wasn't just a good idea, but people were compelled out of the necessities of keeping their families alive and safe, right? And so what the homeless union got known for doing was these housing takeovers, where we would move families and ourselves back into houses that people were evicted from. And when we did that, that wasn't us just coming up with brilliant, you know, radical tactics. It was what homeless people were doing ourselves in response to eviction, in response to homelessness, and so what the homeless union did was kind of organize and politicize. But so again, it kind of speaks to the idea that the leaders of the poor isn't just an idea. It's because people were looking for, you know, creative solutions to the problem that, that folks are faced with. And you were willing to kind of think out of the box and be compelled to do something that was illegal, that was, you know, perceived as a little bit dangerous, right? You know, because, but folks, you have nothing to lose, but like already something that's been taken from you, which is housing. Like, so if you're moving back into a house and you're being arrested for being poor and living on the street anyways, so then moving into a house that you might be able to stay in and be, you know, like is in some ways just, you know, what you need to do. And so I think that this offers something though, in terms of, you know, social change and lesson for social change, which is, again, poor people aren't in the lead of a movement to end poverty just because it sounds nice, mm-hmm. but because, you know, only those in pain know when their pain is relieved, and folks that have little to gain from the current system and therefore aren't so worried about breaking the rules and aren't so worried about because already the rules are breaking them, right? You know, and so to me, like, mm-hmm. this has a lot to do with what it means that this kind of, you know, individual leadership of the poor and social leadership of the poor, because again, we're doing things out of necessity. I mean, during the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival, you know, actions, you know, there are folks that testified at those actions all across the country, but, you know, one